Every problem in your life has the same root cause. Write this down. It's playing God. Playing God. When I act like I'm God and I'm going to make my choices instead of doing what God tells me to do, I'm going to have these problems in my life. Now, our oldest temptation is the temptation to play God. It's, you know, it's all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam was tempted to eat the fruit that God said, this is the one choice I'm giving you, don't eat this. And Satan comes and says, if you eat this, you'll be a God.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we begin a series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick will offer an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that will show you step-by-step how to let go of your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits once and for all, called the Life's Healing Choices Study Kit, an 8-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called The Reality Choice.
You know, when my kids were little, I used to take them to a place called Chuck E. Cheese. I hate Chuck E. Cheese. It is evil incarnate. In fact, I used to try to sneak in my own pizza. And Kay would catch me, no, you can't bring food in here. And fortunately, I have lost that painful memory, except one thing. I remember a game in Chuck E. Cheese called Whack-A-Mole. Does anybody remember this game? Whack-A-Mole. Now, in Whack-A-Mole, these moles pop up out of holes, and you take a hammer, and you slam it back down. And as soon as you slam them down, what happens? Another one comes up. That's right. And then you slam that one down, and two come up. You slam that down, three come up. And it goes on and on and on. And the thing about that game, and this is why it's evil, is you can't win it. No matter how many you slam down, they keep coming back up. And pretty soon, you just give up and you walk away. Now, friends, whack-a-mole is a metaphor for your life. Just about the time you got one problem whacked down, what happens? Another problem pops up. And you whack that one down and two more come up. And you whack that one down and three more come up. And that is life. Whack-a-mole. Thank you for coming. Have a great week. This is also true of persistent sins, not just problems, but persistent sins and temptations. Just about the time you think you've got victory over that weakness in your life, it pops back up again. Have you noticed this? And you know, it just keeps popping back up. Now, you can go read self-help books and they will teach you how to whack faster. But that's not what God's Word does. God's Word teaches us how to end the game with sin and how to unplug it so that the power isn't getting into it anymore and those moles don't just keep popping back up. I want to take a little survey here. Time for confession. Have you ever stayed up late when you knew you needed sleep? All right. And have you ever stayed up late and then slept in church? No. Have you ever eaten or drunk extra calories that you knew you shouldn't have? The rest of you are lying. Have you ever made commitments that you couldn't possibly keep? Have you ever felt you ought to exercise, but you didn't? You are not raising your hand. Come on, you know that. All right. All right. Have you ever known that you should be kind and unselfish, but instead you were unkind and selfish? Yeah. Have you ever tried to take control of your life, a circumstance, or another person and discovered that you couldn't? Welcome to the human race. And you came to the right church. Even Paul struggled with these kinds of struggles. Notice there in your outline, Paul says this. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian next to Jesus, he says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I end up doing. He says, I know that nothing good lives in my sinful nature. Nothing good is in that sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, I've read a lot of commentators on this verse who try to explain this away and say, Paul is talking about his pre-Christian days, before he became a believer, before he was saved, before he was born again, before he had Christ and the Holy Spirit in his life. This is the way he acted, but that's not at all the truth. The fact is, Paul is writing this in the middle of Romans, and all of these verbs are in the present indicative, which says, I'm doing it now. I'm struggling right now as I write this very verse. And he was struggling with it. So let's take a little inventory. There on your outline, I'd like for you to circle which of these things keep popping up in your life. Which of these keep popping up? Stress. Circle all of them, the ones that apply. Fears, overwork, attractions that I shouldn't have to another person or something else, addictions, regrets, diet, yo-yo diet, worry, bad habits, anger, does that keep popping up in your life? Dishonesty, does that keep popping up in your life? Need to control. Finances, can't pay your bills. Relationships, painful memories keep popping up. Perfectionism, resentment, compulsive thoughts. Now, if you have circled any of those things, you are in the right church. Because this is the place for people who want to grow. If you're perfect, please go find another church. But don't join it, because then it won't be perfect the moment you join it.
The second half of today's show is coming up next. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. Take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
We've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. And as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging biblical teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future, one healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
Have you ever tried to take control of your life, a circumstance, or another person and discovered that you couldn't? Welcome to the human race. And you came to the right church. Even Paul struggled with these kinds of struggles. Notice there in your outline, Paul says this. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian next to Jesus, He says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I end up doing. He says, I know that nothing good lives in my sinful nature. Nothing good is in that sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, I've read a lot of commentators on this verse who try to explain this away and say, Paul is talking about his pre-Christian days, before he became a believer, before he was saved, before he was born again, before he had Christ and the Holy Spirit in his life. This is the way he acted, but that's not at all the truth. The fact is, Paul is writing this in the middle of Romans, and all of these verbs are in the present indicative, which says, I'm doing it now. I'm struggling right now as I write this very verse. And he was struggling with it. So let's take a little inventory. There on your outline, I'd like for you to circle which of these things keep popping up in your life. Which of these keep popping up? Stress, circle all of them, the ones that apply. Fears, overwork, attractions that I shouldn't have to another person or something else, addictions, regrets, diet, yo-yo diet, worry, bad habits, anger, does that keep popping up in your life? Dishonesty, does that keep popping up in your life? Need to control, finances, can't pay your bills, relationships, painful memories keep popping up, perfectionism, resentment, compulsive thoughts. Now, if you have circled any of those things, you are in the right church. Because this is the place for people who want to grow. If you're perfect, please go find another church. But don't join it, because then it won't be perfect the moment you join it. Some of you are a little slow this morning on that, but... Now, what is the cause of all these problems? It is the same root cause. Every problem in your life has the same root cause. Write this down. It's playing God. Playing God. When I act like I'm God and I'm going to make my choices instead of doing what God tells me to do, I'm going to have these problems in my life. Now, our oldest temptation is the temptation to play God. It's all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam was tempted to eat the fruit that God said, this is the one choice I'm giving you, don't eat this. And Satan comes and says, if you eat this, you'll be a God. You see, Satan never tempts you to be like himself. He never says, eat this and be like me. Because nobody wants to be like the devil. He says, eat this and you'll be your own God. See, there's a whole philosophy built around it today. It's called the New Age movement, which says, you're a God. You're divine. God is you, and you are God. No, you're not a God. That the New Age is just the oldest lie ever told. You're not a God. If you were a God, you could solve all your problems. But you're not, and you never will be. So it's our oldest temptation. It comes from Satan. It's caused by our pride. Ezekiel points this out when he says to the king of Tyre, there on your outline, in the pride of your heart, you say, I am a God. But you are just a man and not a God. Though you think you are as wise as a God, when do you think you're as wise as God? When God tells you to do something, you don't do it. Well, I know God says do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I know God says don't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I know what will make me happy more than God does. I know God says no sex outside of marriage, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I know God says tithe, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I know God says, every time God tells you to do something and you don't do it, guess what? You are playing God. You're saying, I actually know what will make me happy more than God does. And that is the source of all your problems. It is the root. The Bible says here on the screen, Proverbs 29:23, pride ruins people. Have you ever realized what is the common denominator in all your bad relationships? Think about this. The common denominator in every one of your bad relationships is you. That's kind of obvious. Everything else is different about it, but you are the common denominator. You are your own worst enemy. You cause yourself the most problems. And today, as Tom and I help you look at this, you're going to understand that this is the problem we have to deal with first. Now, what is the cure? The eight Beatitudes of Jesus, which are the first eight statements in the first most famous sermon Jesus ever gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount by saying, I'm going to tell you eight ways to be blessed. You'll be blessed if you do this. 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 Eight statements. We call them the Beatitudes. And he starts off by saying, I want to tell you how to live a blessed life. Now, what in the world is a blessing? Most of you wouldn't know a blessing if it hit you in the face. Well, the word blessing, or blessed, literally is the word in Greek, makarios. Makarios is the poetic form of the verb makar, which means, in Greek, happy. That's all it means. To be blessed means to be happy. That's all it means. To be blessed means to be supremely happy. It's the poetic form of being happy. And so Jesus, in his most famous Sermon on the Mount, starts off by saying, I'm going to tell you eight ways to be happy. Sounds like a felt need sermon to me. But he says, the way you think you're going to be happy is not at all the way the world tells you. And if there was anything more important than this, Jesus would have done it and dealt with it. Now, the first beatitude is the first healing choice for getting rid of your habits and your hurts and your hang-ups that mess up your life. So I want us to read this together. Matthew 5, verse 3. Let's read it aloud. The first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's saying nobody gets into heaven pridefully. It's all by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? That's what I want us to look at today. What does it mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, first, circle the phrase in spirit, because he's not talking about physical poverty. There is no blessing in being poor physically. He's not talking about physical poverty. He's talking about spiritual poverty, recognizing my sinfulness, recognizing my helplessness, recognizing my hopelessness. I love the God's Word translation of this verse says, blessed are those who recognize that they are spiritually helpless. That's what he's talking about, spiritually helpless. Now, in Celebrate Recovery, we have the first statement, which perfectly describes what it means to be poor in spirit. So I wrote it there on your outline. It means, I admit I need help, that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. That is what it means to be poor in spirit. And God says, if you develop that attitude, that I admit that I'm powerless, that I need help, that I can't control and manage everything in my life, but I need God's help, he says, then you will be blessed. It's the first step on the step to being blessed. So today, let's look at how do I develop that attitude. You see, it's not being physically poor, it's spiritually poor. They don't call them Beatitudes for nothing. This is the first attitude you need to be. You need to be poor in spirit. How do I develop the spirit of being poor in spirit? The Bible teaches us three ways. Number one, first, to be poor in spirit, I must humbly admit I need help. I humbly admit that I need help. I've got to face the truth about me. I've got to stop living in denial, and that's why we call this the reality choice. Now, Jesus said the truth will what? Set you free. And so I have to face the truth about me. But the truth about the truth is we don't like the truth. You can't handle the truth. You don't like the truth about you. You know what? You love the truth about everybody else. You love it about everybody else, but you hate the truth about you. You can't handle it, and we avoid it, and we fake it, and the problem is it's painful, and we'd rather live phony lives, and it feels a whole lot safer to not handle the truth about me, because the truth sets me free, but first it makes me miserable when I realize what needs changing in my life. So I humbly admit that I need help. That's being honest. Now, the good news is that your habits and your hurts and your hang-ups can be healed. The bad news is it takes humility. It takes humility. You've got to humble yourself and swallow your pride. Now, James says this on your verse there. God resists the proud and gives grace to who? The humble. What is grace? Grace is the power you need to change. Let me be real honest with you. You're going to see some radical change in your life if you'll do what we do in these campaigns. But it's not going to happen by willpower. Willpower doesn't work. How many diets have you started? How many exercise programs have you started? Willpower does not work because you get tired. What you need is the grace of God. And grace is the power you need to change. How do you get grace? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. So if I want God's power to change, I've got to be humble. What does that mean? Well, let me get real specific. There are some facts that you need to admit about you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions that we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, but first, it's no secret that we've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging Bible teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future, one healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
So many of our problems come down to this basic reality. We're not obeying and trusting God. If you want to get your life back on track so you can live life the way God intended, then you need to answer these basic questions. Will you trust God? Will you obey Him? And will you do what He tells you to do? If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to say, today I will obey, today I will obey, then I want you to let me know about it so I can pray for you. Tell me about your decision to do what God has told you what to do. Just send me an email. Before I go, I want to remind you that Daily Hope is a 100% listener-supported ministry. We don't have any giant donor out there that's funding this daily broadcast. It's all funded by you. And if you can send a financial gift to help us continue to reach people with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, I would deeply appreciate it. And thanks a lot. And thanks for listening today. Join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.